Welcome to the Expert Network Team podcast,
where our goal is to inform and educate our listeners on matters related to finance, legal, insurance, accounting, and other interests that are of personal and business nature.
We hope you will find our content useful as well as entertaining.
First, to quickly introduce the Expert Network Team, here's Carl Frank.
Thanks, Mike. My name is Carl Frank with ANI Financial Services. We work with a small number of successful families to help you grow and protect your investments and choose how you want to be taxed. Now let me introduce Jeff Kromendyk.
Thanks, Carl. Jeff Kromendyk with Security First Insurance Agency, where we exist to build long-term mutually beneficial relationships with business owners as well as household members in helping them transfer and manage their risk. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Mike Miller with Miller & Associates CPAs. We're a small firm specializing working with small businesses and individuals to help them become tax compliant and tax efficient and help them prepare and manage their financial statements accordingly so they understand how their business is being run. We try really hard to make sure that we put more money in people's pockets rather than in the government. Next up, Nate.
I'm Nathan Merrill. I am a founding partner of Goodspeed & Merrill. Goodspeed & Merrill is a law firm located in the Denver Tech Center, small business, full service oriented, as well as private client. My emphasis is on strategic tax planning, helping make sure people keep more of what they make so they can make more out of what they keep. Now I'll turn the time back over to Carl.
We hope you enjoyed the information contained in today's podcast and find it useful. If you'd like to learn more or desire to meet with any of the Expert Network Team members in person, you can contact us at info@expertnetworkteam.com. That's info@expertnetworkteam.com.
We encourage you to take advantage of a free consultation with any of our team members. Just mention this podcast when you schedule your appointment.
Now on to today's podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's Expert Network Team podcast. I'm Carl Frank, and with me I've got Jeff Kromendyk and Nathan Merrill. Today, our topic is the COVID-19 pandemic and the effect on insurance, particularly for business owners. What kind of decisions should we be making? How did this affect us? You know, the COVID-19 is a huge topic in the year 2020, and right now, a lot of thought is being given to the types of insurance that we have and the coverages that we're getting and the coverage that we're not. And in one of our other podcasts, we just opened the door to a type of insurance called cyber insurance. And so today, because we had so much interest in it, we thought you might too. So, Jeff, I'm just going to ask you, you know, from the very beginning, what do you think, speaking from a business owner's perspective, how does the COVID-19 situation affect business owners and their insurance?
Yeah, great question, Carl. Thanks for posing the question. I think these are certainly new times. We're all experiencing something that's different or completely different than what we've ever experienced before. There's no playbook out there that we can kind of refer to. And so we've been fielding a lot of questions from our business owners that we serve in helping them transfer their risk with regards to, you know, what is this new world that we're living in, and what exactly should I be considering or be thinking about as it relates to how we're now doing business? And so, you know, we've really, it depends on the business, of course, but I think for the most part, we can make a pretty safe assumption that either a part or maybe even our entire workforce has been sent home or is now working remotely. And so with that being the case, I think that's primarily where most of our business owner concerns have been is what does this now look like from, not only a data protection perspective and whatever it is that my staff is now doing on a home network on behalf of my business. But what about some of the business personal property that I sent home with them, whether it be computers or, you know, ergonomic equipment or things like that? Is that stuff covered? And then also, I think a lot of business owners are concerned about any work-related type injuries that occur at home. And so these are some of the conversations that we've been having. But let me just address the first one, cyber liability in particular, because That is a very hot topic. And, of course, just to remind our business owners out there, it is our responsibility to protect the private data that is what in our filing cabinets next to our desk. It's also important, or our responsibility, to protect the data that's in the cloud or in digital form. And so whatever that might consist of, we talked a little bit on one of our prior podcasts as to what that information is, but it can be something as simple as a name connected with a date of birth, or a name connected with an address. It could be dates of birth, driver's license numbers, Social Security numbers, depending on what business you're in, would determine, in essence, your exposure or the risk that you have to covering that type of data.
Boy, privacy is so important in today's world, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the, I'd say, largest exposures right now that's on the rise as far as claims are concerned.
Sometimes it feels like we've already lost our privacy with all the scandals that have hit all these major companies that have our credit cards and everything else. Is there anything left to protect?
Yeah, it's out there. I think it's just a matter now of it rising to the surface and it actually impacting you as a consumer, whether it's your identity that is stolen or your credit that is impacted.
And then as a business owner, I could be liable whether or not my consumer clients actually get hurt. Am I right about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your clients are entrusting you with their data, their information, and whether they really know it or not. I mean, that's what's happened. And yeah, it's your responsibility to make sure that that data is protected. And if it does leak into cyberspace or into the hands of somebody that's going to be irresponsible with it or use it negatively or to impact somebody, absolutely your client is going to look to you to indemnify them for that. They're not going to necessarily go look for the perpetrator. It was your responsibility to
they
keep
could
that
sue
data
me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this insurance would help me.
Right. It's a liability policy. I think that's the important thing to remember. Even though data sometimes can be considered an asset or even a piece of property or at the very least intellectual property, there is coverage to protect the loss of data to restore it. But this is a situation where a third party, hence potentially your client, would in essence name you liable for breaching their data.
Yeah, I would not want to get sued over that. And I would imagine with a large number of clients, we could be in big trouble because there could be a number of suits, maybe even class action.
Yeah, very much so. It's usually doesn't result in just one group of records being named. It's something then now that you would have to show responsibility to absolutely every one of the records in your or the clients in your portfolio.
I imagine that, I could just go out and buy somebody LifeLock or the equivalent, right, to just protect their private information, or am I just naive about that?
Well, you certainly can, and you most likely would be required to, and that's exactly what cyber liability would help pay for. That's one of the things, among many other aspects of a cyber liability loss, credit or even personal monitoring of their identity is something that you would be responsible for paying for. That comes to the tune of $100 to $150 a month sometimes,
right,
per client. And a lot of times you're required to monitor it for 6 to, 12, maybe even 18 months at a time. So that can add up.
That would really add up. Oh, my goodness, that's terrifying. Well, and so this type of insurance seems really important in today's world.
Yeah, it really is, and especially as now we've got private business information being accessed through unsecure home networks and things like that, our exposure's really gone up.
Well, yeah, that leads me right to my next question, which is, sure, so the work remote phenomenon is here, and people are working all over the place, and a lot of them are working at home, but they might not be. But, I mean, they could be in the coffee shop. They could be, do I need to be worried about my employees and how they're accessing my company? What should I be doing?
Yeah, I don't know that we can, spend time worrying about anything. I mean, it's gonna happen, and it's happening already. I think we have to, really be smart about putting some best practices in place. And I think that starts specifically with educating our staff really getting them to sign off on some best practices as it relates to keeping your or the business owner's data private. And then there's certainly a lot of credence to employing a technology firm that would help put the firewalls in place and just some of the password protection type software in place that would in essence eliminate one of these losses from occurring. That's what we really want to try to do, is put some best practices in place prior to having to file a claim.
Great advice. It's so true. And you know, as a small business owner, we wear so many hats. It's hard to know everything, isn't it? So I'm going to turn that hat around and now say, okay, I'm an employee and I'm working from home. I've got my company's work computer here. Maybe I brought home a chair or something else that they're helping me with, but oh my goodness, I've got company data here in my home network. And what any type of insurance, any sort of risk that I should be worried about as an employee working from home?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. It's probably not as big of an exposure as it is for the business owner. I would say this, don't make any assumptions that your homeowner's policy is going to cover somebody else's property, including your employer's property. And nor should the employer assume the same. And so we really encourage business owners to make sure that if they do have a considerable amount of business personal property that has been lent out for use by employees at their homes, that there's some type of a rider on the business insurance policy that covers those contents. Because the homeowner or the employee in this particular case would not be able to file a claim on property that they do not own if the loss occurred at their home. So that's just really, really important.
Well, I guess as an employee, it's less for me to worry about, but it's something I probably need to know, that this is my employer's responsibility and I
That's
need to
correct.
Keep things safe. Better lock that screen door.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that homeowners policies or insurance companies that underwrite homeowners insurance forms get very concerned about are home-based businesses as well. So with every homeowner's policy comes a liability form. And that's, in essence, a limit of liability that covers you for any type of bodily injury and or property damage that you're responsible as a homeowner. If that loss entails some type of business activity, such as maybe a client coming to your home, slipping and falling, just know that your homeowner's insurance company could very well deny that claim simply because you were in the act of doing business on the premises. And while some incidental business practice is permissible under a homeowner's form, cases are few and far between. So I just encourage you to check with your agent on that.
Boy, and I understand a lot of people are doing that just exactly right now in this COVID-19 crisis, moving to work from home. And that's very important for them to realize that the insurance that they've had doesn't necessarily cover them when they start to run their business out of their house.
Yeah, that's correct.
Thanks, Jeff, for all this great information. I think this is a great time for us to take a brief break, hear from one of our presenters, then we'll come back on the other side with some more questions for Jeff about insurance during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Fantastic. Thanks, Carl.
We're taking a break from the program to introduce one of our expert team members. Mike, would you please tell us a little bit about Miller & Associates?
Sure. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate being here. Miller & Associates is a full-service accounting firm. We provide accounting work, tax preparation, tax planning, tax resolution, and business advisory services. Plus, we have a side payroll business that we offer. We're a staff of six, three of us working at home right now, three of us working in the office right now, but everything seems to be working out.
Mike, you know, we're clients of yours, and one of the things we love about you is the extra hand-holding you give us. And Can you give us a little bit of our audience a little bit of a feeling for what the value of the Expert Network team is for you, and what does it bring to your clients?
Well, one of our main focuses is tax compliance and tax efficiency. in working with financial statements and trying to maximize people's return on investment. So we don't want them overpaying on their taxes. And to do that, really, it's a well-prepared financial statement, correct? So you really want to make sure the books are done right, the financial statements are representative of the period, and from a comparative perspective, they're reflective year over year, period over period, depending on which time frame we're looking at. That leads to effective tax planning, which then, you know, to your point, when we're working together, we're sitting down going through the books, looking at it going, wow, we're projecting X amount through the end of the year. What can we do with that money rather than giving it to the government and putting it in our own pocket? And planning for that so that at the end of the year, the tax return is just kind of a process as opposed to, you know, a surprise.
I love that. And as you know, one of our values is to go tax-free.
Yep.
It's a great goal. Well, Mike, thank you for that. What do you do outside of work?
You'll find me on the golf course, or you'll find me traveling with my wife, usually to some beach destination, where my wife likes to sit in the sun and I like to surf and boogie board. And if I'm not doing that, we're out hiking in the mountains somewhere.
You're being a little modest. Tell me a little bit about your marathon runs, too.
Oh, well, we're trying to hit a half marathon in every state. We're at 29 right now. We were scheduled to be done with 50 states by the end of 2021, but COVID kind of put a damper on that. We don't expect to run any races this year. And we're trying to hit 100 half marathons by the end of 2022.
I love that, Mike. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
All right, rejoining Jeff here. This is Nate Merrill. I wanted to pick up on where Carl was. And there were a few points that you made, Jeff, that are of particular interest to me. I'd like to hear more about. One of the ones that got me curious was when you were talking about, given that our workforces are working, you know, our employees are working from home, they're working remotely, remote workforce, all that. And the exposure that an employer has relative to workers' comp situations and recognizing that there are a number of factors that go into that, like ergonomic, you know, and carpal tunnel. And help me understand what it is that we're going to be dealing with going forward as our workforce is situated at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Great question, Nate. Thanks for asking. It's important to understand that specifically here in the state of Colorado, and I understand we probably have some out-of-state listeners as well, it's important to understand that insurance is territorial, and it either starts and stops at state lines, or at the very least, certainly regulations will change at state lines. So I'll speak specifically to Colorado, but it's important to understand, or for business owners to understand, that a work-related injury is a work-related injury, regardless if it occurs at the office or at the business or at home, or maybe even in between home and the office, if that particular employee is indeed working or in transit during work hours. And so workers' comp is really designed to cover any work-related injury. And so there really isn't too much to be concerned about from a business owner's perspective as it relates to work-related injuries and workers' comp in particular. However, the industry as a whole is becoming concerned about having more and more work-based employee or home-based working employees. And primarily it's because we do typically then see an uptick in injuries when we have a workforce working from home. And it oftentimes just has to do with the things that employees get distracted by when they're working from home. Oftentimes we see maybe some yard work being done on occasion. There's just some things that home-based employees or working from home type environments just create some additional exposures from an injury perspective than what we typically see in a regulated or a workspace that's in essence more controlled, like which we usually have here, you know, at our offices.
So, just to get some clarity on that, though, because as you were talking with Carl about the limitations on homeowners' liability for the employee versus where the business insurance will kind of reach out and cover? How do you determine who has priority in a particular claim where you have an employee who is fixing their lunch, they slice their finger? Is that going to be under their home insurance, or is that a business? Who gets priority on that?
Yeah, and that's really where the lines get pretty blurred. In essence, when we have a home-based workforce or just a one employee working from home, it's really up to them to basically decide if this was a work-related injury or not. Whereas if it occurred at my business, it would be pretty cut and dry,
right,
that it would be then at that point in time a work-related injury. So we're really taking the decision that's typically very clear with regards to what a work-related injury is or isn't, and placing it now in the basically in the court of the employee to determine, you know, am I going to be honest about this claim and admit that, you know, I was out, you know, in my backyard trimming plants at the time I got injured, or am I going to, you know, go ahead and file this as a work-related injury? And so that's where we're going to see as an industry some major uptick in claim frequency and even some severity.
So what about in the area of workstation? I don't know what the right word is.
Ergonomics.
Yeah. What do we need to be aware of or concerned of there? What's the employer's responsibility relative to making sure their employees have good workstation? I mean, we always focus on that when they're in the office, mm-hmm. but we don't design their home office environment, and not everybody's got the same, you know, resources when it comes to space and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And hence another reason I think we'll see an uptick in the number of claims that occur is primarily because people are now working maybe at their kitchen table on a hard kitchen chair. I know I've got a couple of employees in that situation. We are trying to be conscious if this is going to be a long-term situation for us to, in essence, maybe make some investment into some more ergonomic, friendly, you know, type equipment that we can send home or maybe have installed. But by all means, I think right now, I think business owners are trying to figure out, is this going to be long-term? Is it going to be something that passes in the next 30 to 90 days? Because that's going to really determine whether Nate, you and I, or Carl, Mike, you know, make an investment into sending some of this equipment home to employees' houses, or invest in additional equipment to make sure that they're ergonomically
safe. That assumes
safe.
The genie isn't out of the bottle. I've talked with a lot of business owners where, in essence, this pandemic has pushed the genie out of the bottle, and we're never going to be able to get it back in. That there's always going to be some inclination or desire for some portion of the workforce to have the mm-hmm. fluidity of their schedule or their situation to work from home. So whether or not the pandemic lasts 30 or 90 days, I think in some respects it is the new normal. To some extent, for employers, unless you filter that out all in the interview process, but that could be a totally separate discussion as well. But
you're right.
But I think that everybody has to be realistic and think that to some extent, whether it's the pandemic continues or we have another pandemic in another 5 years. I mean, we've been having these things with whether it be SARS or avian flu or Zika or West Nile. They seem to be getting more and more regular in their occurrence, and like I say, the genie's out of the bottle on this one. With the government's response and shutting down the economies and forcing us all into this environment, can't imagine that's not going to be a consideration every time going forward, if you know what I mean. So
yep, I would agree, absolutely.
So I have a question for you. So with claims activity, I guess what that translates into for a business owner is higher premium, correct? So what can we do? I mean, between you have to weigh or cost benefit analysis the investment in resources to prevent injury versus the impact of claims activity. Is that kind of the calculus?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a pretty complex formula to try to figure out, but in Colorado here and really nationwide, frequency or even severity of claims, workers' comp claims, really don't impact your premiums until your company has qualified for what's called an experience modification. And your company is only going to qualify for an experience mod if it's had if it's paid work comp premiums of more than $4,000 for four consecutive years. Then your the state, or actually NCCI, will go ahead and provide you with an experience modification, which can be a credit or a debit depending on what the loss history has been for those four consecutive years of paying premiums of $4,000 or more.
And that's just workers' comp premium.
That's just workers' comp
premium. So how big a workforce, or what are the industries or workforces where you'll see that kind of premium?
Yeah, it's usually has to be a pretty large workforce in the professional classes, such as clerical, sales, technology, because those rates are so low. However, it could only be maybe one or two employees if you own a roofing company,
right?
Or an excavation company or a carpentry company. Those rates are much higher. So it really depends on the type of business and then also the size of business.
But that 4,000 range is kind of the trigger point. So if you're under that and you see that you have more and more claims coming in under, you don't really need to worry that you're going to be targeted, kind of like you are with auto insurance and that sort of thing with incidents of claims. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Until you have an experience mod, only at that point in time will the number of claims and the severity of claims actually impact your premium.
Gotcha. So what other, just to close out here, I kind of want to let you do a little free form. What other things should business owners be thinking about given the nature of the impact of the work remotely environment and what COVID has done? Oh, actually, do have one other follow-up question. So is COVID a permissible workers' comp claim? If someone were to come down with COVID, and how does that kind of work into the workers' comp situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the short answer to that is yes, it could be. Now again, with every work comp claim or work-related injury, we do need to make sure that the injury or the sickness in this particular case was contracted in the work environment. And with the tracing and tracking that has been going on specific to this pandemic, that is becoming easier and easier to
they can overcome the HIPAA limitations on that to find out if other people in the workforce had it.
They can, yeah. It is traceable and trackable at this point in time. We've had several claims filed for COVID-19, and for the most part, our work comp carriers are responding to them pretty readily.
Okay. So now I'll turn to your kind of free form. What other issues should we be concerned about as we get halfway through? Now we're halfway through the year with this new, I don't want to call it a new normal, but a new environment for business owners.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned it in a prior podcast that we did a couple of weeks ago, but a couple of other forms that are really becoming really prevalent and very, very important, I think, for both small and mid-cap businesses, large businesses to have. First of all, employment practices liability insurance. With unemployment, at the levels that they are, we as business owners are certainly furloughing employees, maybe even in letting some employees go at this point in time. And whenever that's the case, we need to be very, very careful to document those types of events properly. But the reality is we don't do things perfectly.
Ever. It's not a matter of if, but when.
Yeah, exactly. And so it oftentimes just requires a perception of a terminated employee or a disgruntled employee of some sort to be somewhat negative as to how they were treated. And so employment practices liability is really designed to protect the business owner in the event they're held liable or are fielding a suit that's landed in their possession for wrongful termination, discrimination, harassment, or any other type of grievance that comes from an existing employee or a terminated employee.
Right. Real or perceived.
Real or perceived. Right. Yes, exactly. The I think the last form I just would like to touch on real briefly is just the importance of thinking about directors and officers liability coverage at this point. As I mentioned last time we touched on this, most, you know, small businesses are very closely held and therefore don't necessarily have a board of directors per se. But by default, as small business owners, we are the board. And maybe it's us and a spouse or maybe us and a partner. But nonetheless, we're in essence responsible for the decisions that we're making on behalf of the company, which can impact our employees. It can also impact our customers or even our vendors. And so as we're making difficult decisions in a climate where, like I said earlier, we don't have a playbook to, you know, to refer back to, a lot of us are shooting from the hip, literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're trying to make the best decisions we can based on the information that we have. And if that those decisions ever prove to be the wrong decisions, or maybe even perceived to be the wrong decisions, just know that as business owners, we can be held liable and certainly responsible for the fallout of those types of decisions that are made as it relates to our company and those affiliated with it.
Yeah, and acknowledging that what you say is true, for the most part, a lot of businesses, most businesses, small businesses, are closely held in such a way that maybe that's not as much a concern. But with more and more mid-market maturing businesses going to equity capital, granting directly or indirectly ownership interests to employees to incent them for retention and you know, long-term growth, you're finding yourself more and more in a situation where people may think they're the sole interest in their company, but they've this is work that I do as an attorney, is help people put together structures that are either equity or directly or indirectly. And one of the emphasizing points I make to them is you now owe fiduciary duties beyond just, you know, your relationship as an employer, but as a separate owner, you owe them a duty as an owner of the company that you need to protect. And that's exactly the type of insurance you're talking about.
Yes.
There is, should they come back down the road when the venture doesn't quite work out or if they don't agree with some decision you've made, that type of insurance can help kick in to defend you against their claims against you.
Yeah. And as we think about, you know, even transitioning our businesses, whether it be to an, you know, a group of employees or even on a sale, whether it be a stock purchase or an asset purchase, whenever there's an acquisition environment, it's good to have directors and officers coverage in place.
Yep. Well, like with any discussion we have here on the Expert Network team, there's so much new that comes out of discussing what we are presently concerned with that I'm sure we'll come back to Jeff and get more insights as time goes on. But really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us today and go over these items.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Nate.
No
appreciate
problem.
Your questions.
Thank you for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the information we shared.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to share it with someone else. And join us next time.
If you want to meet with a member of the team, please contact us at info@expertnetworkteam.com. That's info@expertnetworkteam.com.
If you have special topics you'd like to hear about, please reach out to us and let us know at the same email address. Again, that's info@expertnetworkteam.com. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We want to remind you that listening to this podcast does not establish a client-professional relationship with any of the firms represented. nor does it constitute legal, investment, or accounting advice, and the views are those of the professionals only.
Investment advisory services may be provided through ANI Financial Services, and securities may be provided through Genios Wealth Management.